Where are you? Are you in bed? Or are you leaving the first human footprint on Mars? Are you jogging? Or are you about to pull off the heist of the century? Are you in your car? Or are you praying those red eyes in the darkness can't see you? A voice in your ear can take you anywhere.
Audible. Get your first audiobook for free and feel every word. $7.99 a month after 30-day trial. Starts automatically. Terms apply.
Simply the best.
Every time he sees me, his eyes light up. I can almost hear his heart beat faster. He looks at me the same way he did when we first met. For him, it's love at first sight every day. For me, it's heartbreaking.
Loving someone who's living with dementia is not easy. For support, advice, or to make a donation, visit dementiasa.org.
You're listening to VUCA Online.
You are rocking with the best.
Hi there. Welcome to Healthcare Hour with Colleen Quist. You tuned in to VUCA Online Radio, your inspiration radio station. What's Healthcare Hour about? It's really about us looking at the industry, at healthcare. It's about us getting to know people who work in healthcare, do all different topics. And what you'll also find as well is that so often in healthcare, we don't talk about so many topics. We don't talk about that one. And this show is set to change that. It's about giving people in healthcare a voice. And it's also about making sure that we get to know different topics, that we unpack things, that we find out facts, and we don't just operate from a position of not knowing. So this is what we're going to do. All right. From the show's point of view, we go live at 12 o'clock on every Thursday, and make sure that you've downloaded the app so that it's easier for you to see, VUCA Online Radio app. Or also you can tune into www.vucaonlineradio.co.za. More about me, I'm a life coach and a master credentialed coach and mentor, and I work as a confidential sounding board with doctors and their stakeholders and people who are in healthcare. So in a nutshell, today we're going to be talking about a very unusual topic, and we're going to be talking about funeral planning. And all things to do with funerals and dying. And now you're going to be saying, Colleen, no, what kind of show have we happened into? But this is what's so important. We need to normalize speaking about death and dying and funerals and the rituals that go with them so that we can be more aware of what's available out there. So when we come back, you're going to meet my exciting guest, and we're going to unpack this topic.
Highway Harley Davidson. There are no words.
Broadcasting worldwide online 24/7.
It's VUCA Online, your inspiration radio station.
Hi, welcome back to Healthcare Hour with Colleen Quist. I'm joined in the studio today by Georgie Colleen, who is going to be talking to us about, of all strange things, funerals and dying and funeral planning. I know it's strange, but we're going to normalize talking about strange things in healthcare. So Georgie, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, Colleen, what an absolute privilege to be on your show, and thank you so much for the opportunity to talk about something that lots of people want to talk about, but nobody really knows who to talk to.
Awesome. Okay, so this show always starts about you. Who are you as a person?
Well, Colleen, I'm actually originally from Durban in KZN. I went to many, many schools, started off in Hillcrest and ended up in Ishawi at a boarding school. Family was kind of divorced, and I ended up following a man to East London, and starting my career as a PA, personal assistant, applied for a job in East London, and got my letter of appointment as public relations officer, which I must tell you, at the young age of 24, I didn't even know what that was. I studied at night and worked in the day as a public relations in the retail field. I don't know if you remember Garlic's departmental store.
That goes giving away our age, Georgie.
Yes. I then relocated to Johannesburg. My stepmother was here in Johannesburg, and I had to start all over again as a PA, but found that my career was always taking care of people. I eventually plucked up the courage when I got married to start my own business, and had a lot of retrenchments. So starting my own business was something that I was destined to do, to be beholden to myself rather than to other people. And when I was last retrenched at a hotel group, I decided that I would start my own business. And literally overnight, on the 1st of April, 1998, I started my own events company. And 6 months later, got my first project, which was an international conference, which I was delighted to do, but found that I was taking care of people all the time. So that's basically a little bit about me. I live in Johannesburg now. I am divorced. I was unable to have children, but I have two beautiful boy cats, and they certainly keep me on my toes. And for part-time, I do house pet sitting. So I get to see other people's pets and give them love and attention when they are away traveling.
So certainly a most important part, that people can go on holiday and feel at ease because somebody's loving their third children.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we certainly see that through PR, you ended up in event planning. But how do we go from event planning to funeral planning?
Well, I went to go and have my nails done one day, and my nail technician said, Georgie, we've got the perfect job for you. We must introduce you to funeral planning. It was unfortunately at a time when I'd been seriously affected by COVID, and events obviously weren't happening. So I was really looking for something to do. I had been looking after the elderly up until that point as an au pair, which is like an au pair to kids. I was an au pair to the elderly, chatting to them. So my nail lady said to me, you have to meet this lady. They're looking for a funeral planner. So that's how I got into it. And after two interviews, I was able to secure a position.
So you certainly are bringing different things to us. An au pair, never heard of that one, versus an au pair, so somebody who looks after older people. And yes, the funeral planning. So is it different planning an event? I suppose a funeral is an event.
Well, you know, everything that you do in every day is an event. It's how you do it, what outcome you expect, and what passion and contribution you put into it. So funeral planning is definitely an event. And, you know, in the event planning industry, I would always work with the CEO. They would always tell me what their delegates wanted, what he wanted for the delegates, what outcome he expected for the conference or team building or year-end function, whatever it may be. And in funeral planning, it is exactly the same. We deal with the families on what they expect and what they are looking for. But I said to myself, what if I actually had asked the delegates at the corporate company what they wanted at their conference and their event? What if I'd asked them what their outcome was going to be? Because most delegates didn't ever want to go away for the weekend on a conference because they'd hear the CEO talking again about the company. They'd have to have another dinner or an event, and they'd have to sit and listen to people that they didn't really want to spend time with. They'd have to share a room with someone who they didn't really like, and the last time they shared a room, they snored. So people really didn't enjoy the events organized by the CEO. And what I'm finding in the event planning industry is that you never get a chance to find out from the deceased what they actually want. You end up dealing with a family who is in complete and utter distress and anxiety when somebody has passed away. And they are assuming so many things that the deceased wanted when they passed away. What type of funeral, what type of, whether it was a burial or cremation, or whether it was going to be a service, or whether they wanted what carbon coffin they wanted, and what type of people did they want to attend, and all those kind of questions. So I really, really see it as so similar, but dealing with a lot more emotion in the funeral business.
So it's really interesting, Georgie, how events are the same. But yeah, as you've said, how different it would be if you could speak to the person who was deceased.
And they have a lot of information to impart. You know, just like you and I have just shared a little bit about each other, you don't know what my life expectations were. You don't know my hopes and my dreams. I do an exercise with people all the time on how to actually express themselves to each other. And a simple thing like 100 things that I love is a chart that I actually started many, many years ago personally because of the being a PR type of person. When people ask me, what do you want for your birthday? What do you want for Christmas? What do you like? What you don't like? I found it was actually quite fun to learn a little bit more about myself as to putting together 100 things that I love. So we talk about senses, talk about food, for example. And I mean, oh my word, we can go into a great detail about that. What's your favorite cake? What's your favorite starter, main course, and dessert? But then the stuff that's different, like I love the sound of the autumn leaves when I walk on them in a forest. I love the feeling of silky cat fur. I love the smell of vanilla or somebody's perfume. These are actually going what we call below the waterline, not talking about the how are you type of questions, but digging a little bit deeper. And we actually try and get people to sit down with their families and their loved ones and actually talk about their life story. You know, those days when you used to go to your mom and dad's house for Sunday lunch, and now your parents are in a retirement village. And when you go to visit them now, it's just, do you have enough toothpaste? Have you got your clothes clean? Do you need some body cream? What did you have for lunch? And the conversations change completely. So up until that point, you are the child, and then you become the carer. And I'm sure you experience this a lot in your history with healthcare.
So thank you for that. So let's pop out and have a break, and then we'll be back.
You're gonna hear the pages turn. Let me take my gazelles off. Don't want this thing, but can't let go. Even though I need it so, your arms they soothe me, but I ain't no game, I ain't no toy, I ain't just brain. This ain't no movie, man. I'm a real woman. Been down this road before. I just need more.
What does my body ignore? What my mind says? I try to keep it intact, but I'm here in this bed. I need to listen, listen. What does my body ignore? What my mind says? Down inside of me, I'm trying to hide, but they keep finding me. I wanna lay low, but continuously you do all the right things, so sweet to me. And what do I do?
What does my body ignore? What my mind says? I try to keep it intact, but I'm here in this bed.
I need you. Damn.
What does my body ignore? What my mind says? I try to keep it intact, but I'm here in this bed.
Ocean of soul, baby, you're super deep. And I'm the man of steel with skills, call me super deep. I got that technique that keeps you coming back to back. And I know you feel it all in your stomach whenever you arch your back. I'ma pull your hair, I know you love that. When I maneuver this tongue, your eyes roll back. I work them side angles, I'm a karma sutra pro. Kitchen table down to the flow. Ass in the air while you biting that pillow. Girl, you know how I chop and screw. That's what a diamond chip dick do. That's what a diamond chip dick do.
All my mind says and my body says something different.
What does my body know? What my mind says?
In many countries on our continent, gay people face discrimination and intolerance on a daily basis, and their rights are non-existent. To find out more about what it's like to be a gay man in Tanzania, we are going to phone Anthony Mbise, a gay Tanzanian man.
Central Prison Services. Hello?
But we can't, because he's currently in jail for being gay under Tanzanian law. He has been in jail for over a year. Help us fight for gay rights on our continent. Go to the SA Human Rights website to find out how you can help. P.S. Anthony Mbise isn't his real name. Using his real name would only make his situation worse.
Broadcasting worldwide, online 24/7.
It's Vuga Online, your inspiration radio station.
Welcome back. You are tuned into Healthcare Hour with Colleen Quist. And today my guest is Georgie Colleen, and we are speaking about funerals. She is a funeral planner, and she's spoken to us about how she used to be an event planner and how it's quite similar, but obviously a lot more emotion. What she's also said to us is that it would be so much easier if she could have spoken to the person who has passed away of what it is that they like or don't like. Because when you think about it, a funeral is really a celebration or a memory of who a person was. And when we are in that thing of now we're grieving that the person's gone, we're going through all that emotion. did mom like flowers? Didn't she like flowers? What kind of flowers do we need? You know, all those kind of things. And it's so much easier to talk about these things beforehand. But I'm sure you'd be thinking, oh, but people don't want to talk about dying. They don't want to talk about death and do I like pink flowers or blue flowers or no flowers. But Georgie's done some research. She's done a poll with her people. Can you tell us more about that, Georgie?
Yes, thank you, Colleen. In this poll, the reason I actually decided to do it is because we have so many families that come to us in distress. Their personality and their standing is of concern, of confusion, of not knowing where to start. And some have had terrible experiences before, either going to somebody else's funeral or telling or hearing about all the horror stories. And when they approach a funeral home, they actually have to be brave enough to pick up the phone and talk about their loved one that has passed away. And then what do they do? So once we get to know our families, we find that they open up to so many more things of what they didn't think about in the first place. So the fear and the trepidation that they bring to us initially becomes a calming, relaxed conversation because we give them the opening to talk about the likes and dislikes. But we have families that are bickering about, no, but mom never told me that. Why would she have told you? Mom said I was the one to make the decision. So I thought, let me open it up to other people to see how they feel about this topic and whether they want to actually talk about it. And yes, people find a fascination with death. They really, really do. But if you mention the word death, you're going to be struck down by lightning, or you're going to be preempting your death, or you're going to now be counting down. And, you know, we actually had a little giggle in the office today saying that we actually dying every moment. If we aren't living our best life right now, we are dying every moment. So let's make the best of it. So there's places where you can go and talk about death. Like there's a place called the Death Cafe where people get together and talk about death because of the fascination of it, because nobody really knows. But what we found is if we open the door to talk about it, there are a lot of people that actually will be brave enough to actually join the conversation. But it's to create the environment, and people are looking for that environment. And that's what my study came out with.
Yeah, and you also said that in your study that people said that they wanted to talk, but they couldn't find people to talk to.
Exactly. And, you know, the if you have a funeral planner on speed dial, it's actually not really something you do. You have your florist on speed dial or your plumber or your handyman. But who wants to actually have a friend as a funeral planner? And it's actually quite a conversation stopper or starter, depending on which group of friends you're in. And as I say, as soon as you say the word, I'm a funeral planner, people have two types of reaction. Oh, my word, how can you work with dead people all day? Or others are saying, oh, tell me about, I've always been interested in learning about cremation or burial. So people are either for it or against it, but there's a fascination that people want answers.
When you think of it, both sides are fascinated, but for very different reasons. But now that you've said that about working with dead people, you don't actually work with dead people. You work with the people who are living, who are left behind from the loved one who's passed away.
Exactly. And that is where people tend to feel that funerals are expensive. Funeral homes take advantage of families. We're not getting told the real story. So in order to change that, we try and meet people before they even start thinking about a funeral policy or anything like that is to get them to have the courageous conversation with their family members and their friends. And as I said earlier on, it can start with something as basic as what you like and what you don't like, those 100 things that you love. But eventually you have to actually broach the subject to say, do you know that I would like my ashes to be scattered in the Drakensberg? It's my favorite place. Do you think that would be allowed? Maybe I need to find out. I would love to have my ashes separated amongst my siblings. Maybe they would like to have a piece of me to have. Maybe they want to have a jewelry item made out of my ashes. I don't mind that happening. But when would your family actually know the answer to that question if you haven't sat down and had the conversation?
And so what's so important in that is that the, oh, would mom want me to be, you know, be made into a piece of jewelry? If you've spoken about it beforehand, then there's, you take out all the guesswork. You, as exactly as you said, where the siblings will say, mom didn't tell me that. No, yes, mom did tell me that. No, but, and yeah, so it takes out the actual arguments in the family of, is this the right thing?
Exactly. And, you know, because people find the topic fascinating, but not the right people to speak to, yes, they would rather not talk about it. So we then encourage people, if you find that the difficult conversations cannot happen, you need to kind of spread them out. So start off with the 100 things that I love, then start talking about your experiences and your hopes and your dreams, then start talking about what you'd still like to do in your life. And if you still can't find your families open to talk about that, then for yourself, start something that we call a life file. And a life file is a place. It's a file that you can keep, which holds all your important documentation, your divorce documents, your water and lights account, your funeral policy, your car papers. It's a starting point to kind of get everything into one place. And then when you start processing why you're doing this, you can actually say to someone, like I've done to my best friend, I've got a file. It's covered in my favorite color, which is pink. It's in the bottom of my dressing table cupboard. And if anything should happen to me, you know where to go. And I've got a structure in there of how and where and what and what needs to be done. So start with a life file if you can't find someone to have the conversation with.
Okay, so let's go for a break and then we'll resume our interesting conversation.
Perhaps it's because we're a family, or that we've been making whiskey together for over 5 generations. That at Grant's, we believe friends aren't the people you do things with, they're the people you share things with. Discover a different angle. Grant's Whiskey.
Since 2017, we are proud to associate ourselves with some of the best jazz music in the country and the continent. Sibusiso Mashilwane, Zoe Mudika, Ntuthuzo Makatini, Thandi Ntuli, Thabang Thabane, and many others. This year, we are at it again. So we invite musicians, music companies, radio stations, jazz clubs to nominate yourselves and those who deserve recognition. Visit www.zajazzawards.co.za, then come and join us. Whether online or face-to-face, come and celebrate, venerate and recognize jazz with us for the Mzansi Jazz Awards. See you there.
Broadcasting worldwide, online 24/7.
It's Vuka Online, your inspiration radio station.
Welcome back to Healthcare Hour with Colleen Quist. My guest today is Georgie Colleen, and we are speaking about preparing for death. We are speaking about making sure that your loved ones know what it is that you're wanting. So instead of, as a funeral planner, where people are quite amazed, either positively or negatively, that she is a funeral planner and saying that she's working with dead people. But no, Georgie shared with us that she works with the living. She works with the people who are left behind when the loved one has moved on. And just from a life file point of view, it's if you're not able to have or can't find the people to have the conversations with, it's good to have in one place all the information. Of course, all the information about what the password is to your cell phone, but also the information about what it is that you like, that you don't like, that you would like included. Do you want flowers? Don't you want flowers? A big thing also is like how fancy a casket do you want? What kind of music? Because I can imagine music in a family would cause a war of no, we're going to have this. No, we're not going to have that.
And, you know, it is fascinating because the amount of services that I have been exposed to in the 6 months that I have been in this business, you probably find 3 or 4 songs that are the go-to songs for funerals, not necessarily the songs that are the deceased wanted played. I was blessed enough to be with a family yesterday where they actually had a couple singing the deceased's favorite song. And it was so beautiful to see the family reacting to that, knowing that it was meaningful, knowing that the wish was being granted and not playing the normal funeral songs that you tend to hear.
Yeah, the normal ones. I mean, it's quite apparent in my house. We have said it. Do not play Amazing Grace at any of our funerals. It's in big writing, you know, do not. Yes. But I mean, certainly if that's something that you want, then yes. But what's important now is we sit down and say, but do we really want it? Or are we just thinking that's the expectation, that's the norm? That brings me to something of saying that funerals and talking about situations of what you like, what you don't like, what you would like, how you would like to be remembered. It doesn't have to be dark. It doesn't have to be somber and serious.
Definitely not, Colleen. You and I are evidence that we have personalities, we have hopes and dreams, and when somebody passes, it's a celebration of what their life was and their legacy that they're leaving behind. And yes, there's obviously sadness and there's terrible grief that people experience, and understandably so. But what we are trying to educate so many people in before the loved one has passed on is to actually get all of the stuff out the way, get all of the stuff in place so that the time that you spend together is of stuff that matters. You can process so much more. You can enjoy your life so much more when you know that the process and the procedure is all done. If you look at an expectant mom and dad having their first child, they have 9 months to prepare for that. They are expectant of that birth. The same thing with a wedding. People can prepare for a wedding 1 year, 2 years in advance. But your death is not something you have a finite date to it. And because of that, it should be organized and planned because it is such a sudden or expected, if you obviously are terminally ill, you know, it's something that you should have in place because it's a what if.
I think it's very important what you said though, Georgie, in that imagine, for instance, like a wedding where you're thinking, okay, should we get married? Shouldn't we get married? Yes, we're going to get married. Okay, what date are we going to choose? What flowers are we going to have? Are we having a church wedding? Aren't we having a church wedding? Are we going to be out in nature? What happens if it rains? Are we inviting Auntie Susie? No, we're not. You know, all those things that have gone into planning. You can imagine the family wars of, no, we are inviting Auntie Susie. No, we're not inviting her. You know, all those kind of things. But now it's an event and it's a big event. Now picture the same thing where suddenly somebody passes away and now the event suddenly gets zoom onto the loved one who left behind. It's all their responsibility. I'm thinking, oh, so all those questions that you would have had to answer for a wedding, but we've sorted out over months, is now like within a few days, plus be upset and grieving, you must now sort out what color flowers.
And Colleen, you know, we see it time and time again where families just want to get it done. And we actually say, yes, there is a process, and it takes 7 to 10 days for this whole process to unfold. But why not enjoy the person's life and celebrate them in the best possible way, rather than stress and be so anxious about stuff you don't know? So yes, there are processes and procedures, but we don't want families to just get the funeral done. We want people to be able to know what their family wanted and celebrate it in a way that they deserve, and not just, oh, but mom just said, cremate me in a cardboard box and scatter my ashes in the ocean, and that's all I want. Yes, and that can be done. And most of our families choose that because they don't know any better. And then they'll just have a bride home, or they'll just have people over for drinks at home and maybe scatter the ashes in the garden. But you just think of how much of that loved one are they actually celebrating at a time like this? And that is why we say when the families don't really know, that is when sometimes the funeral can be extremely expensive, because they start talking about stuff that they're not really sure of and are just making so many assumptions about what kind of casket, about what kind of flowers, about is it going to be a church service? Is it going to be, do I want a proper minister? Am I going to do it? Are we going to go and attend the chapel before the cremation? And there are so many choices to choose from, but we really, really encourage our families and the places where we go and educate to just come and sit with us and just let us share with you what your choices and options are. Because we have families that actually leave their files with us, not their life file, leave their funeral file with us and say, I want my family to be as close as possible in their grief when I passed. Let me do the paperwork so that when the time comes, they've got your card, they phone you, and the process unfolds, but they can then grieve and celebrate in the knowledge that I have actually left them with less to do and rather just grieve and celebrate.
So it's quite interesting how things have changed then, because it's not that you only get the deceased person at the end. You're getting to know the deceased person before they pass away. So it's like, you know, from cradle to the grave. Okay, maybe not all the way from the cradle, but certainly in the advanced stages of, but also we don't know how long we've all got anyway, but certainly of having a relationship.
Absolutely. And I'm so sorry I interrupted you.
No, I was going to say of having a relationship with people.
So we actually reach out to retirement villages. We reach out to hospitals and wards. We reach out to different kinds of community groups to literally talk about having that courageous conversation with families, to prepare the life file, and to come and sit with us and just go through the process so that they can have the peace of mind that everything is in place. But most times we are dealing with palliative care, and palliative care is people that are ailing, people that have a terminal illness, either with hospice or wanting to be at home during their illness. And this is where relationships work so well, is because there's a time when the family of the deceased need to make decisions. And that is sometimes the only time we get an opportunity to prepare the family for that ultimate end. And it's still in a process of grief and sadness and wanting healing. And somebody said to me the other day, how can, this was on social media, how can a funeral planner comment on a Facebook post if somebody is in hospital, hoping that sending you healing thoughts and hoping that you recover from your illness? This is absurd. Normally you would want this to happen. And I was actually quite affronted by it. But it just tells me that I'm just a normal person hoping that you get better in your ailing. I don't want you to have the end. I don't want that to happen to you. But I want you to be prepared for that. I want you to concentrate in the right area so that you can enjoy those last moments with somebody rather than be so stressed and anxious.
Very valid point there, that it's something we can plan for as opposed to just be thrown into. So when we come back, we will be closing and just have some last thoughts from you.
So, how long does the average sex session last? That depends. Do you really want to know, or did you ask your buddies? The short answer is about 7 minutes. Yes, 7 minutes. It's average, which probably isn't long enough for your partner. That's why Durex developed Performa, for longer lasting pleasure.
The Africa Center for Work-Based Learning is a professional development center for professionals who aim to improve their professional standing. This means that the learning programs we run are more than just academic programs. They are work-based programs that focus on leveraging your current experience as a professional to build your overall profile. A year down the line, the Africa Center for Work-Based Learning is developing into a preferred center for professional development in Pretoria, with 8 professional development faculties including accounting, teaching, entrepreneurship, as well as IT and many more. For more information, go to acwbl.org or dial +27 12 751 7608. The Africa Center for Work-Based Learning, where work is learning.
VUGA Online Radio, your inspiration radio station.
Welcome back. You are on Healthcare Hour with Colleen Quist. I'm joined by Georgie Colleen today, and we're talking about funeral planning. But more than funeral planning, we're talking about having relationships with people who are going to die and what their plans are before that. Now, remember, we are all going to die. I think we seem to forget that. We bury it, no pun intended. We seem to like bury this fact that we're all dying. And we all have this idea of, no, we're not. Even in healthcare, we don't talk about dying. We don't talk about the end. But it's guaranteed. Death and taxes are the guarantees in life. So, Georgie, thanks so much for allowing us to see, you know, when we have these courageous conversations, as you're talking about, we can make such a difference to the people who are left behind, because they do know what mom, dad, friend, loved one, what they did want.
100%, Colleen. I know that in the healthcare industry, death is seen as failure, but the people that are working in the healthcare industry, if they could open the door to their own healing and prepare themselves for what they are giving to so many people, if they could look internally and say, okay, how can I best prepare so that I don't feel the loss of my patient as strongly as they do. So we really try and educate as many people in the healthcare carers, retirement homes as possible, so that the topic is seen as you can talk about it and it's not going to be a miserable conversation.
So when we change the narrative and we normalize the topic, we can speak about it, we can joke, we can go, hey, how does that work? And it's also about seeing what kind of options are out there. What would we like? What wouldn't we like? But really what you're doing is you're celebrating the living. And this is where people don't realize that, yes, you're a funeral planner. Yes, you're commenting on someone's Facebook posters about feel better, get better soon. And someone's saying, oh, you're sitting there waiting, going, ooh, can't wait for this one. Crazy. Okay. But what you're doing is you're preparing somebody to have choices, to have to be remembered the way they want to be remembered. And that's very powerful and very empowering.
I recently celebrated a friend's birthday, and she asked me to make some of the arrangements because, of course, I'm the planner. And I spoke to each of her close friends. It was an intimate birthday. And I got all the friends to write a little story about their most precious moments that they remember in relationship with the birthday girl. And I remember the face of my friend when she read the stories about what she means in people's lives. It made her so much closer to her friends because the door was opened for them to say, this is what I love about you as my friend. This is the experience that I've had with you. And why can't we do that regularly? To celebrate each other rather than have all those tears and sadness and grief at the end, we should be doing it on a regular basis.
As they always say with that, send the flowers before the person's dead.
Exactly.
Okay. Thank you so much, Georgie. Thank you to all of you for joining us. Of course, Georgie and I have spoken specifically about Christian funerals, but do feel welcome to share with us your rituals, your changes. How is it different now since we've had lockdown, since we've had the pandemic? Have things changed? And it's also about, are we following the rituals from the past of how we have burials or how we remember a person from the olden days? And how can we move into the future? How can we change things? So with that, thank you for joining
me. Hi, this is Dr. Ngosi Mafuta. Catch me with Zakhele Sibanyoni on the Health and Wellness Talk Show every Wednesday, just after 10.
The more someone makes you think about your body, the harder it becomes to ignore. Your tongue, for example. Usually you hardly notice it's there. But when I mention it, you can feel your tongue bumping against your lower front teeth, the tips just resting on them. You notice your tongue feels just a little too long for your mouth. And you notice it never really lies still. You move it about constantly, without thinking about it, backwards and forwards, and from side to side. Suddenly it feels strangely wet and heavy in your mouth, doesn't it? A few seconds ago you hardly noticed your tongue, but just one message ensured that you can't stop thinking about it. Now imagine the hundreds of messages girls are exposed to every day, subtly changing the way they think about their bodies. See how you can help with the Dove Self-Esteem Project at selfesteem.dove.co.uk.